My name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkir's Wrap-Up. Hello, folks. Welcome back to week number three of my IEL visits. This week, I am sitting down with someone I haven't spoken to, I think, since last April, Jordan Kahn, and that is Tigraine. How are we doing, Tigraine?
Great. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while. Like, how have you been?
Good. I moved across the country, so that's always fun.
Wow. Okay.
From one hold to another, so right. That has been fun times to adjust to a new place and all that stuff. So it's been awesome.
That feels very fitting for your character.
Yeah,
to just like up and just move somewhere completely different.
Yeah, I also left a child behind, so it's all the same. just kidding.
You chose not to yeet.
yeeted the baby.
For legal purposes, we're joking, folks. For legal purposes, we're joking.
would be quite the confession. The top 5 minutes of the podcast.
Oh my God, can you imagine that?
It'd be great.
Yeah, that would. Oh boy, that would be something indeed. But yeah, let's be glad that that's a joke. But yeah, that's that's a big country to move across. So
yeah,
nice. Yeah. And it has been. Where are we at? We're in January. Will I see you this year's JordanCon? Will you be there again?
Yeah, I got the membership. I haven't gotten my plane tickets yet, but we have the memberships and the hotels lined up. So
nice.
We're all set. So we should be there.
Perfect. Yeah. I hope to see you there myself. I have the hotel booked. That's all I have so far.
But you don't have your JordanCon ticket?
I'm waiting for them to get back to me about the whatever they call the Everpass thing. So yeah,
the press,
yeah, thing. Yeah, whatever they call it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that should be good.
That's fine.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I always enjoy JordanCon. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. Yeah, it's become like such a familiar, comforting place now, like the Crown Plaza. Atlanta Ravinia Hotel.
I was worried they were going to move because the contract ended last year, but they renewed and they're staying. So I was like, okay, this is good.
Oh, yeah. We had heard that as well and we're wondering about it. So that's really good that they renewed it. Yeah.
I agree. All right. Let's get talking IEL. Okay. No pressure. Okay. But I've had Mel and Leia the past 2 weeks. so tough acts to follow, obviously.
Really tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Mel was very sweet, and then Leia told like half a life story. So, it was definitely interesting.
Was there Usquai involved in those? Should I have gotten a bottle of wine? Actually, I have one, but
I mean, if you want to grab wine, that's absolutely fine. Leia, actually, surprisingly, you said this. Leia did not have Usquai.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I think she had like an hour. She was then going to someone else's show. So I think she held off on the Usquai for that reason.
No Usquai. So. Okay, got it. Okay, good. I don't feel too bad then.
Yeah, you're good. Well, we'll kick it off with the obvious question, but it's kind of like a two-parter as well. So you role play as Tigraine in Twitter of Time. I'm not calling it X, Twitter. The first part of the question is, why do you choose to be Aiel? And then like we'll progress that into like how you chose to be Tigraine on Twitter. So, and no pressure, but Leia's now actually listening in live chat. So,
okay. So I guess like this is tough because it wasn't like very much a conscious choice. Like I didn't like sit and think, okay, I'm going to make an IEL account because I identify with them or anything like that. It was more kind of like, I actually thought that at the time someone was keeping a list of all of the accounts that had been made so far. And like all of like the obvious ones were taken. Like I even think we had like a active Elaine back then, which I don't think she's active anymore. And so I was like, okay, like I don't want to like you know, step on anyone's toes. What account can I have? They're all taken. And there's already like five Matts and, you know. So I started kind of looking through a character list, and that's kind of where I landed. But I didn't like necessarily say like, oh yeah, like I need to be an IEL because that's what I want to do. So it's tough because I didn't make a conscious decision, but then through the process of impersonating them, which is very true to Tigraine, I came to really, you know, like identify and admire them. But I did always think they were like the coolest like culture and group in Wheel of Time. Like that was always like kind of a hands down thing. Like a lot of people just love the Aes Sedai. I was never an Aes Sedai girly. I was always just like, I would be something else. I would be like a Tinker or Aiel or something like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's very true to form then that you were just like, you know, I will just go be
wander Aiel, into this. Yeah.
Wander into this. We'll just set up with that. Did you expect it to, because you're like, I don't know if OG originalist, I suppose, might be the appropriate phrase.
Originalist. Oh, no. Not an originalist.
No. It took me a while before I actually found out the origin of that joke. I think it took me like 9 months before someone told me the origin of where that came from.
You didn't realize the Wheel of Time was written in 1980? How dare you?
Well, I'm not an originalist, clearly. but you are one of the, I mean, you're definitely one of the most known accounts, but you're always the one that people, one of the ones that people always talk about. There's you, there's like Default Rand, for character accounts, or accounts that don't relate to like Tarvalon.net or Dragonmount, things like that. You're always one of the accounts that people mention and talk about. Because that's obviously quite a big deal. How does that feel like? To be that account that people are like, Tigraine is always, you know, always welcoming people in the Twitter time. You're like the head of the welcoming committee or something.
That's funny because I actually feel like I don't welcome people into Twitter of time because my account's a spoiler. And so I always have this thing where like when I see new people, I have to kind of like check their profile and be like, oh God, like they have to be past book four. And if I can't verify where they're at, like if it's obvious they're a new reader, but I can't tell where they're at, I just kind of like play it safe and don't talk to them. Because wow. I'm so scared of spoiling it. So I don't know if I'd call myself part of the welcoming committee per se, as much as like Rand and like Uno's eye patch are. But I do try to welcome people that like clearly have read past my part. So I don't know. Like it feels, I mean, it's nice. Like it's nice to be known for, like it's funny. Cause I think that growing up, like I started reading the Wheel of Time in 1999 and I was probably, that would have made me like 12 years old or 13 years old. And I was a very awkward, nerdy kid. So like, as you can tell, I was reading Wheel of Time at that age. And I just was like, I remember just being kind of like feeling like I had to kind of hide that part of me because like I would get bullied and stuff like that. So I guess to have like an account that people really love for the same thing and to be like so appreciated for it later in life is like weirdly gratifying. And to have so many positive things and friendships come from it is awesome. But yeah, I remember when I first joined, I was actually like so nervous to like say or do the wrong thing. Like I was like, I need to play this safe. Like just don't piss anyone off. So it's actually kind of funny that, people ended up enjoying it. Cause I do feel like I was kind of like holding back a little bit, but yeah, I think ultimately early on it was cause I just relentlessly posted memes. So
I was going to mention the memes. Do remember the meme off challenge. There were a few yeeting babies.
With Byer.
With Byer. And yeah. There wasn't the one where they're like, you know, someone's got their hand, they're below the surface of the water, someone's got their hand up, and it's like, please rescue me. And it's like the Gowan's, you know, it's Gowan's hand coming out of the water. And then like, and then your hand just comes in and gives like a high five. It's like, yeah, boy, you're good, you know, something like that.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good ones. I still have like a ton of them in a folder on my phone of just ones either I made or like other people made about me, Tigraine. So yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. Was memes just kind of like your thing for Twitter originally or?
Yeah. I mean, I started making them cause I had just done a reread at the time. So everything was still really fresh. And I would just kind of like, I followed a couple like places that would post templates a lot. And I would just like on the way to work and stuff, I'd be like, while I was commuting, I'd be like, okay, what scene in Wheel of Time does this template go with? And I would just figure it out and make something. And there were times where I thought I was really like stretching it and it was not funny at all, but people would always respond really positively. So it just kind of egged me on and I kept going with it. And so yeah, it was fun. It was awesome. Like I had a couple big meme moments.
Okay.
I had when Sarah posted the photo of the writer's room wall where they put all the Wheel of Time memes, one of mine was on there. And then I had the one that Marcus Rutta retweeted. And nice. I absolutely lost my mind when he did that. It took me totally by surprise. I logged on. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. I think I remember that. I can't remember what the meme was, but I do remember people like raving about the fact that he'd retweeted your meme.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm sure that was a pretty crazy moment. What I'm hearing is you need to come to WattCon or Malkyriecon and then be a contestant on the Great Malkyrie Meme Off.
I need to. How does it work? Do you just give them like.
So what we do is I get a bunch of like just templates together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're really crazy ones and sometimes they're just, you know, simple ones or the classics. And then, so we randomly spin that out of the wheel and then we ask the audience for suggestions and we try and get really crazy ones, not the obvious ones. Like you get the three dragons and it's like, you know, I said, you know, things like that. That's very obvious. So we try and get quirky ones. And then basically you get a couple of minutes to create a meme with a captain. Yeah, and then usually I'm playing like funny videos or something in the background. Kevin's very good for providing those. we get the audience members to I get them on the app that I recommend and get everyone making memes and putting them in a Discord channel.
That's super cute.
And we go through the memes that they made for the previous suggestion while we're making the next ones. You know, so there's a lot of interaction, and then we present the two memes and
fantastic.
Yeah, we see who's is funnier and the audience votes. So yeah, I think you'd be good at that. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that does sound fun. I am gonna try and make it to Malkyriecon this year. So
yes. Prague, as has been put in chat by Charlie, Prague is way cooler than Ohio. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. That's why I wanna go.
Yeah. It will be amazing. Remind me when we finish recording, I have something to tell you about. So that I can't say here just for reasons because people are listening live. I mean, I can edit it out, but they're listening live and I can't
tell you guys after.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there
we go. I won't do that.
Okay. All right, so that's how you became Tigraine. And you have really lent into it now on the Twitters. But we did get to meet a different Tigraine in season one. So that's what I've been asking everybody because, you know, it's my favorite moment of season one. I think it's one of the best moments of cinematography I think I've ever seen on the screen. But particularly for you role-playing as Tigraine, how did it feel to see Blood Snow in the first season of Wheel of Time?
I was like so shocked because like we were all watching season one, especially I feel like season two too, but like season one, especially like we all had like the timestamp of when Prime would drop each episode. So I feel like, yeah, I like watched it right away and we didn't really have warning or anything. So like, I didn't know. And I was very careful about like, especially during season one, I was very careful not to check any like leaks photos or, you know, if their interns got ahead of themselves and so like I really didn't know going in. And I had a video of myself. I don't know if someone told me to record and it was the first time I watched it or if it was the second time, but like somebody told me to like record. And so I did. And I think I deleted it because I was like, I can't have this video up for longer than a week. It's so embarrassing. Because I was like crying. It's made me start crying because it was a really, really cool scene. But the way they threaded it through the episode just made it like really emotional. I think it was by far one of the strongest episodes of season one. And it just it was awesome. It was awesome to see her. It felt like really, really good. I really appreciated that they did the Aiel justice in terms of just like their fighting style and stuff like that. I know that like some people kind of had thoughts on like Lan and like the warders not like looking as awesome as they wanted to. So I was like, yeah, they saved it for the Aiel. That's awesome. As they should. So I was really happy with that. And yeah, I just was like really overwhelmed. It was like just such a beautiful scene. Cause I think it's something that, when you read the books, it's not something you focus on, you know, and you don't focus on like the tragedy of that story and what must have happened to like get to that point. And so the fact that they teased that out and brought it to screen was just really incredible, because it is, it's an incredible story. So
it is indeed. The story of how Rand got yeeted. people joke about that. it's great. But you had, you had a lot of people obviously reach out to you afterwards and be like, oh my God, it's you in the TV show and stuff like that. But you also had like a connection come from that as well, because you ended up being followed by someone on Twitter as a result. Mm-hmm. And why don't you tell us how that happened and who it was?
Yeah. So I was getting so many people tagging me like, you did a great job, you were amazing. And I was like, that wasn't actually me. This feels awkward. Like, I really wish I could take credit. I wish I was the stunt person in that scene, but I was not. And so the stunt actress who played Tigraine, I found her profile on Instagram, and I just DM'd her, and I introduced myself, and I said, I tweet as Tigraine on Twitter time, and I'm getting all of this love for you right now. Like, I don't know if you're on Twitter, I couldn't find you, but like, if you have not looked over there yet, please look over there, because you're getting so many compliments. And this is my at handle. If you look under it, you'll see I'm retweeting them all, so you'll find them all. And so she responded to me, actually, and we had like a really lovely conversation over DM, and she was just like so floored that people even cared. I think like as a stunt actor, you often like don't get that recognition. So I think she was just really shocked in like a positive way that it was so well received. And she was just so nice. And she talked about like, you know, the character and how she thought it was such a special story and stuff like that. So, and that she was really glad to get to play her. And then she did pop over to Twitter and I guess made a Twitter account to talk to everyone and just kind of followed me because she had my handle from Instagram. So
yeah,
and everybody's like, oh, she follows the account.
Yeah, I haven't looked in a while, but I think if I remember correctly, it was only your account that she follows, not that she's ever really tweeted or anything. But yeah.
Oh my God, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very, really very sweet thing.
I do love when like the actors, like how the actor that plays Dane like interacted with Child Bornhold on Twitter of Time. Like, I think that's really cute. And just like, and like him saying like, I looked at your tweets and I show them to Marcus all the time, like your tweets about Perrin.
That's
is so funny to me. Apparently, yeah. So
wow.
It's like a really cute thing. Like, I wonder if it's a thing on set now that the actors are like, we gotta go find our equivalents on Twitter of Time and research, use them for research.
That is amazing. Now I think a lot of people out there should probably, if they have a character account, be careful about what they're tweeting. Like, they might be sharing this out. We do joke.
Yeah.
Obviously, you were an original member of Threefold Talk. And did we do – was Butt Rock a thing when you were still doing Threefold Talk? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was. But, like, for some reason, my brain has blacked out exactly where it came from. I feel like it was, like, Shelley or Leo went on a hike and just found a rock. And then,
yeah, it was Mel. Yeah. Mel found a hike.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they were like, it looks like – Land, and that's where it came from.
The whole story like that, yeah.
I feel like I blacked it out.
That's fair. Well, obviously, we joke now that like someone like Daniel was going to be watching the show randomly or someone else is going to watch and be like, hey, Dan, have you seen what they do? So we've had that worry for a while, but now you've made me think that a lot of people on Twitter should have a worry about their tweets for that reason as well.
I honestly suspect like they're more aware than we think they are just from the few clues I've gotten. So I would definitely, if you're making jokes or whatever. You know, I mean, nothing can be as bad as the poor Trolloc actors and the Kevin Angus. Angus's account.
Kevin I know Kevin is known.
Kevin is known.
I asked. Yeah. Do you see Kevin stuff? And yeah. a couple of the Amazon social team were like, yeah, there's a few people we pay attention to. Some of us got the Kevin duty sort of thing. So.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. So I can't imagine anybody's done anything more goofy than that.
Yeah. I look forward to the day somehow that Kevin and Daniel Henney meet, and then Kev can be like, I'm responsible for the, would you prefer to give a Trolloc a bath or a brush the teeth of a murder question or something like that, whatever it was.
Because
that was Kevin's question, and it actually got asked, and Daniel Henney was just like, I really don't know what I'm going to pick here. So.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I remember that. That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, so that was season one. It was pretty much all we got. We did get a dead Aiel in a cage, as Leia pointed out to me. Poor girl. My God, the panic over that being Gaul was so fun.
I loved tweeting out that was Gaul, Gaul's dead, and everyone was so mad at me for a day.
I love that. I would have done the same thing. Literally, when I have to say this story now, we'll get to the season two question in the moment. But when I was very lucky to go to Prague, when they took us around the sets, we got to go around the Tarvalon one. They filled it just for us for stunt, you know, for fun purposes. They filled it with Shan Chan soldiers, and there were like actual like journalists there, and there were people that do TikToks and Instagram and things like that. And the Amazon social team said to us like, people are going to post these things because they're here on paid trips.
Right.
You're here as fans. They're here as jobs. People are going to post these pictures, and Twitter of Time is going to see Shan Chan soldiers on the Tarvalon set, and they're going to lose their minds.
Yeah, we're going to analyze it to death.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, so when that happens, like, could you guys, you know, just sort of step in and be like, hey, calm it down. It's probably just emotional stuff. Yeah, blah, blah. And everyone else was like, yeah, no problems. And I, like you, I think, would have done the same thing. I went, well, I might give it 30 minutes first, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm a troll, and that's part of the fun of Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. I would totally have trolled it. So, yeah.
Yeah. But there's also like this expectation of like, come on, guys, like, yeah. Don't take my word for it. I don't work on the show. Like, yeah. Don't let me rile you up.
Definitely. Did you? I'm now curious. Did you go on the Aludrin train? Did you panic with that, or did you have fun with that?
You know, I had like a moment, but I had just like, why would they do that? But you know, there's like different versions of names in our world, so it makes sense that there's different versions of names in their world. I don't really see Rafe getting rid of Aludra. She's too awesome. So
yeah, I would agree with that. So but it is fun to troll, you're quite right there.
Yeah
so. Okay, so yeah, season two, so we had Gaul dead in a cage, Blood Snow season one. Season two, we got a lot more Aiel. So how does Aiel in season two compared to season one, like, how did you think it was in comparison, and what did you think of the way they showed us Gia 2?
Well, I think that I'm really glad they didn't do the rat tail haircuts. I think everybody was kind of like, are they gonna do that? I think it's ultimately probably the right move. I think it was awesome. I think they got some amazing actresses, and getting to see like the maidens and kind of focus in on the maidens was really cool. I think getting to see Avienda's fight scene against the White Cloaks was very satisfying for me personally, because I'm constantly fighting the White Cloaks on Twitter. So that was pretty happy. And it was awesome. I think the overview, like the conversation that she has with Perrin, where she kind of talks about their culture and stuff, was well done. They're probably gonna have to do more of that because it is a complex culture. But I did really, and I was really happy that they gave it a moment. Like, I think because we only have the 8 episodes that are like, what, like 55 minutes?
Yeah.
It's really tough sometimes. Like, I think they really have to pick their battles of what gets put in. And there have been a lot of things that just haven't been kind of fully explained or fully vetted out. And they're just kind of trusting the viewers to kind of just like keep up or wait for it. So that was really nice that that they made sure that that was understood, since it becomes such a big thing with them and with Rand. So it was a good setup. I really liked it. I was really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you like, because Jito was kind of like a little bit explained, but then a lot of just sort of presented to us on screen. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was well done, over the top, not enough? Like,
so the scene with like them having to beat up Avienda, I think that was a little over the top. I felt like being Aiel, like you're not really to blame for someone's waking from the dream. You know what I mean? Like you, mm-hmm. like especially in battle, like everybody does what they can. And I didn't feel like that was quite true to necessarily how it lives in the books, but also I think they had to show something. And so I think that was kind of like, it worked in two ways. It showed that they do have this kind of like honor system, but it also showed like the brutality of their culture and how hardcore it is. In a way that I think sometimes when you read the books, maybe doesn't fully sink in quite as much because you're not like seeing it happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it had its strengths and weaknesses. I think Perrin's reaction is funny though, because he's kind of like, oh, what?
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are crazy.
Yeah, it is. He is quite fun to watch in that scene. Especially when he first tries to intervene. I think is it Bane who's just like, no, or wait or something.
Yeah.
Just sort of like stops. I mean, Raga's quite, you know, I think she's 6'2" or something like that. You know, she's a tall woman. Yeah. You know, she's quite imposing in that outfit and the voice she puts mm-hmm. on for mm-hmm. the part. But yeah, it's quite a dramatic scene.
Yeah, I like that they she was one of the first Aiel, because I think Marcus is so tall. Like, isn't Marcus like 6'8"? It's like,
he's like 6'1" or something.
It's like,
himself.
Yeah, everyone on film just looks so small next to him. So we've got Raga now to kind of put that in perspective a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And season 3 is going to be pretty Aiel heavy, we would expect. Mm-hmm. We're off to Threefold Land. I'll get the name correct. I called it the Waste. I think when I was recording with Mel, and she's like, "You mean the Threefold Land?" I'm like, "Oops, mm-hmm.
Well, you're a wetlander. It's okay."
Yeah, this is true. like, what sort of things are you hoping to see in season 3?
Good
knowing
question.
That it's going to be about, it should be about the Shadow Rising. That's the saying. It was all about that book. Obviously, there's a lot of Aiel stuff there. Mm. What are your hopes for that?
I am really excited to see the Wise Ones, and I'm really excited to see Moraine's reaction to the Wise Ones. I think just like finding, because like right now we've got the Aes Sedai, and the only other channelers we've seen are the Shanchan. So like we've kind of know like, okay, there are these other lands beyond the ones that we were initially introduced to. And they do have channelers, like channelers are everywhere. So seeing ones that are like free and not, you know, imposed on by the oaths, or like dealing with the Domine situation, I think will be really cool. And I'm just curious to see like how they interpret it, if they keep it like the Wise Ones don't get involved in battles and I'm curious to see like the scenery and the settings too, like the hold. I'm just like, I really hope they do a good job just making it feel really, really different, you know, from everything else, which they did with the Shanchan. So hopefully they can do that with the Aiel too.
That is very true. The Shanchan were definitely probably a lot more than I expected.
Yeah,
it was very, very cool stuff. So like, is there anyone in particular you're excited to see? Are you hoping maybe you will get more sort of backstory about your character,
I would love if we got like a little more backstory with Shaiel, and saw some of the stuff of like her coming to the Waste. I think that's like a pretty big, her history, and I think like Tam's history are pretty big like untold stories, and it would be great if we had time to fill those in. I don't know if they will prioritize that given not having a 22 episode season, but yeah, I think that would be really cool. I'm really excited to see Ruark though, because I've always like kind of had a crush on Ruark, so I think like he has like this steadiness and this energy that I think is really hot, so I'm hoping they cast someone really good as him and do him justice.
I mean, they do call him, I mean, they don't, but the fandom calls him Daddy Ruach very often.
Yeah,
so,
I almost said yeah, that. And yeah. then I was like, I almost said daddy energy. And then I was like, no.
Everybody says it. You can say it. It's
fine. I was
fine.
Like, don't say it. Don't say it. but yeah, he has that energy. And he's just such like, I think he's like the, like we have Rand, who is obviously Aiel in terms of heritage, but we don't really get to see Rand like as an Aiel. And I think Ruach kind of is like the main kind of clan chief, like what a clan chief is supposed to be, that we kind of see that Rand is supposed to be the chief of chiefs. So
right.
I think he's important too. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to him. I'm looking forward to Melindra too, just not because I'm biased because of Mel, but also because of what they did with Dana and kind of some of the dark friends so far. It's so clever. And I'm just so curious to see like what crazy motivation they give her. Like, you know, like a lot of them have had a kind of like an Ishmael philosophy so far. And I'm wondering if they give her like a Semirog philosophy. Like, I just am a psychopath. I like to kill people.
Wow. Well, see, I said to Mel, like, I've been trying to find out if they've cast Mel or anything like that. And Mel's like, Mel doesn't turn up until Fires of Heaven. So she's adamant.
Right.
That, yeah. I mean, they could bring her in early, but that would just be, I'm excited to see her anyway.
I think they might bring her in early because she's like a named character. And I feel like that's kind of what they did with like Bane and Chiara to an extent. And I mean, I guess we got them in The Dragon Reborn.
Right? Yeah. They do turn up because they
end up here.
Yeah. On the way to Tyr, they end up rescuing the girls. So, but no, it could be fun. But yeah, still got hopes. I'm actually kind of now because they're doing season 3, or like it's already well into it and such. I'm actually hoping that Mel doesn't turn up till season 4, just so we can carry on the campaign of Mel for Mel. Hopefully get to cast Mel as well. That would be amazing.
Can you imagine her with Donald?
She would die.
I think they would like love working with her. So there's that.
I'm not sure that Doyne would love it so much.
true.
But it would be very, very cool. Leia in chat is just like loving it as well.
He might just have to get a spear brother. It's fine.
Yeah, there we go. You know, extra help around the hold.
Exactly. Everyone wins.
Everybody wins. This is very, very true. Mm-hmm. I love that. But yeah, so one of the other questions I've been asking people, and it's not specifically around season 3, but it could be something for season 3. Mm-hmm. We had Blood Snow, which was an unexpected scene in season 1. Is there a scene that you want for season 3 or just any season going forward aside from the glass columns? That seems like a very easy gimme. Mm-hmm. Mel caught me that in the first week. She's like, well, glass columns, obviously, Rob. Like, but yeah. I assume you want something else.
Yeah, the glass columns are going to be so cool.
They're going to be incredible. Is there something else that's off screen in the book that you would love to see on screen in the TV show?
God, I don't know. I'm trying to think now. I wish I had studied before this. Because I could probably go back and read that arc and be like, find a few things.
And it doesn't have to be Aiel related. I mean, I can give you some pointers of what people picked.
Okay, what did they pick?
Well, Mel was like, I honestly thought Mel was going to be like herself, like more of her. But yeah. In the end, she picked the Matt and Coolin fight scene.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. Okay. And Leia's going to have to give me help in chat now because even though I edited the episode earlier today, I can't remember what Leia said about this. Leia's forgotten as well. This is great.
I'm trying to remember, but I feel like part of the Alcaer Dahl scene, like the Golden Bowl scene.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like part of it happens like almost between books. Like it ends one book and he goes to fight and then he like comes back. And like then the next book kind of fills in like a blank spot. I don't know, I could be totally misremembering. My last reread ended only 3 months ago, but my brain is terrible.
Yeah, I mean it all blurs together, doesn't it? I often think that you know characters appear in different books that they actually do appear in. So, but yeah,
I just remember on this past reread, my brain filled in something about that scene that wasn't actually like on the page. And I was like, wait, where did that part go? So maybe whatever that was. I think it was like, I think I like had this whole image of like Rand giving some sort of speech or something there. And it didn't actually happen. He like jets off to fight in Rudine.
Yeah. Disappears and leaves into it. He does disappear off and just leave them all like scrambling and fighting, standing. It's like it's raining and stuff, and they all start yelling at each other and fighting. So maybe that's the bit you're thinking about.
I think that's what I'm thinking about. And I think it could also be like, because like he has this like crazy moment of making the water come back to Roydian. Mm-hmm. There could be like a really Jesus-y scene with that if they combine the like locations of things.
Oh, they could. That would be pretty amazing.
That would be really, could be really dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like you have those two scenes playing side by side, like him fighting.
Or that, Asmodian. Or just like the Aiel witnessing him bringing water back to the waste. And maybe that's like a huge, huge thing of like, oh shit, he's the one.
I mean, that would be pretty incredible as an Aiel to see someone do that. So it makes sense.
I really want to see the tattoos too, the dragon, the chief marks. Yeah, like.
Do you want them to, because they sort of sparkle, that's what they say.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to see them sparkling?
Yeah, and I want to see like, you know how with the Adam collars in the second season, they kind of like fill in like when they put the collar on her. What if it like fills in like that on his arm? Like that would be really cool.
Oh, like when he gets it, it just sort of like grows up
just
his arm.
Like, yeah, like kind of grows like in metal plates, like I don't know. Like my imagination running wild.
I mean, it would save them sort of like painting it on or giving him some kind of like sleeve effect or something. But then that's a lot of CG work, isn't it? So
yeah, it is, but I mean, it's worth it. They only have to do it once, I feel like, because it's only once he gets them. So
that is true. Yes.
Yeah. And then it's not just like on. And then it could just be like a costume piece from then on.
That would be very cool.
I did see the photo of the heron, and I'm excited for that.
The photo of the heron? Have I missed something here?
Did you not see it? Or is it a fake photo? Did I get taken in by someone photoshopping something and putting it on Twitter?
See, this is what happens when we have someone who's on Twitter far, far more than I am.
There was a photo of it on like Yosha's hand on set, but it definitely could have been someone just photoshopping it. And
Did you retweet this? You did not verify this. Did you retweet this? So I need to, I'm going to go.
I feel like I would have, yes.
When did this happen?
Like, I think it happened a while ago, but I saw it as recently as like last week.
Okay, let's search the media tab. Maybe that'll give me a bit more.
I can look on my side too.
Go on, hunt. I'm seeing a lot of fun media here. I'm going to be honest. Some of these, I need context for some of these memes you're putting out or GIFs or whatever.
It's like four posts down and it's by Lord Matt Cawthon.
Okay.
And it's Yosha holding his hand up.
Oh,
that looks real, right?
Yeah, that looks real. Yeah, no, that looks how it came out in the TV show. Yeah, so that's. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that already happened. Okay. Then I'm just misremembering the end of the show. Okay,
yeah. That's the filming on the top of the tower. Yeah. So I was like, Heron, what did I miss? So no, that's very, very cool.
That's my confession, is most of season two, I've only watched once so far.
I mean, I think I've watched it like three times myself. So don't worry.
I learned from the first season to like,
take
give
a break,
a breathing room. Mm-hmm. And so then, because like they're so long between seasons, and if you watch it over and over, then you have it memorized and it's not as fun to rewatch it. But if you wait, you can kind of like binge it at a certain point and then binge it again. And it kind of like, so I actually tried to, I think I only watched one episode a second time. It was because we were doing something for Ranland TV pod. Yeah.
Yeah. I've watched it, I think, three times in total. Once the screen is once when it came out, and then I think I've watched it like one more time in pieces ever since. But yeah, you kind of forget moments that happen, and then you can rewatch it, and it's great to
It feels fresh, and I really liked like the first season when I binged it, like when I watched it all through one seating. I think I did it across a couple of days. Hopefully, it's embarrassing if I didn't. But it felt so different when you watch it all strung together instead of week to week to week. So like it felt like a new experience. It made me kind of appreciate things a little bit. Things that I felt were like maybe a little awkward on the first run through felt better when I went straight through, and kind of I don't know, it just like is a different experience. So I highly recommend people do that if they haven't.
Okay, the 8-hour binge, folks, you have been told.
Just watch it like a movie, it's fine.
That's a long movie.
it's normal not to move for 8 hours, guys. It's totally healthy.
That seems good. That seems absolutely perfect. I love that. I think the change from having it released on top of Christmas to having it released in September or technically August for those of you in America, you know, the betrayal month. It made a big difference, I think, to how the show felt.
Did you like it better or like worse?
I liked it better because it was like right at Christmas. So everyone's trying to, you know, it's the holiday season. Yeah. Everyone's doing a million things. Yeah, everyone's going to like plan trips, buy presents. Yeah. You're trying to watch this show. You're trying to catch up on content. And then suddenly it's like New Year's and it felt so warming.
Yeah.
I remember January after season one, I stopped listening. I was like 6 different podcasts I listened to.
Yeah.
I watched like 4 or 5 different YouTube channels. I stopped watching everything. I was like for a month, I just didn't wheel of time.
Yeah.
And it was like, I got so overwhelmed. This time it felt so much better. You know, it's like I can keep talking about it and, you know, doing whatever I'm doing, wheel of time based. How was it for you? Did you find it different?
I thought it was good. I remember that I had a harder time like being on time for the episodes this season for whatever reason. But also that would have been right. It was right as I was leading up to moving. So it was probably more of like my personal, just like I was scrambling to get packed and like get my ducks in a row. So, and I had like just started a new job. So I think it was more like that situation. So I kind of feel like that impacted things. Like even with like our podcast, I feel bad because I like wasn't fully present for like the first 4 of our podcast episodes because I was just like so in a daze from like having to like upheave my life. And I was like, I'm not the biggest, strongest contributor right now, but
that's why you have co-hosts. Sometimes you need a bit of time out, you know.
Yeah, they very patiently put up with me just being kind of quiet on the podcast. Like, so I think this next one will be great. I'll be ready this one time.
Okay, good.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think like doing it around the holidays, everyone's so busy that it's just never going to be. Like I even remember I had to watch part of it at like my parents' house because I was like home for Christmas the first season.
Yeah, because the last episode came out on like Christmas Eve or something.
Yeah, it was super close to Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, that was odd, but it was like maybe the 23rd or something. Yeah, it was pretty chaotic. Yeah. So
I actually wouldn't mind like a January, February though, because like there's nothing going on and I just want to stay home all the time.
To be fair, I haven't heard months, but I have heard early 25. Anytime I've heard any sort of mention of it. So, you know, February possible. You know, roll into March and then you've got Jordan Con in April. What kind of just like imagine the hype. Nice.
Yeah. Well, and and like what else is dropping right now? I feel like nothing's really coming out right now.
No. It's and like Lord of the Rings or Rings of Power, whatever. Rings of Power is coming out later at the end of this year. So like it spaces out for them or later this year at some point. Gotcha. So I think that's the plan. So,
okay.
You mentioned your podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Random TV. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that for anyone who doesn't listen or has no idea that what it is or what you do. Like, what's your angle for the podcast? How do you approach Wheel of Time? I suppose
I would say our angle is we're probably the laziest podcasters because we don't record during the breaks between the seasons. Like everyone else is so dedicated and sticks it through, and like they're recording on weeks like there's no news and they find something to talk about, and we're over here like we're just gonna record when the show is on and do it that way. So that's our angle. We are just during the show seasons.
So you've got like 16 episodes and that's it.
Yeah, well there was season one before I joined where they did like a live like Wheel of Time role-playing game.
Oh.
And so they recorded it and it's actually like pretty hysterically funny. Like there's a point where like someone's pony gets lost in the ways and dies. And it's like a very tragic situation. And like so if you enjoy listening to people role play, that's season one. And there was like a few like topical episodes between that and when the first season came out that are pretty good. Like they did a deep dive into like I was a guest on the one around like polyamory and Wheel of Time, and then there was a pretty deep like discussion of the casting controversy and race and stuff like that. And there's just like some really like thoughtful episodes there. But for the kind of the main ones, once the show came out, the first season we did it where we always have like a spoiler free section. So if it's just show watchers only, they won't get spoiled by us talking about anything in the books. The first season, they did not have me as part of that section, which was the very smartest thing they could have done, because I cannot for the life of me stop saying spoilers. And so I think in the second season, I was part of that section and they ended up having to do much more editing because, and Colin kind of gave me like the,
second half.
Yeah. I'm just saying the whole history of Lanfear, like it's nothing, whatever. And so I was in the second half and I did like some live reporting on Twitter. So I would like pull reaction tweets and stuff like that. And we'd talk about those. This season, like I said, like my head wasn't as in the game. And so like the second part was just more focused around like the spoilery stuff. But I think we'll probably get back to the original format because that was really fun to go through all the tweets and
pick
like the funny, because there's so much funny reactions. Like
there is.
After the episodes, I log on to Twitter and I see things that I'm like, how did that go through your head? Like, that is so funny.
I love it when you do the live tweet as they're watching thing. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
I remember I'm still known for not liking, I suppose, headpieces. It seems to be now, but it was, so I didn't like the brooch that Luz wears in season one. The little dragon brooch. I was just like, that looks a little tacky. I just didn't like it. And then Swan's headpiece in season two, I was just like, I really don't like this at all. And then it progressed. I didn't like Lanfear's headpiece either. Then when she was in, when we go back to the room, she's not wearing that. The rest of the outfit looks better on her.
And you're like, this is so much better. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I'm like that. People do have funny takes.
I'm going to wear an immense headpiece at JordanCon now just to like really upset.
I fully expect one year someone to buy me like the dragon brooch or something for my birthday. Yeah. Just be like, screw you all.
That's so funny. I remember getting into like such a Twitter fight over the dragon brooch. Like someone got so mad. I don't know. Like, I think I posted something like, do you guys think this is gonna be the dragon from here on out? And someone just took that so personally. Like, it was just someone that, like, a real originalist got real mad at me for even suggesting. So that was fun.
That is amazing. Yeah. What's like the funniest take you've seen, apart from obviously the originalist discussion, which, folks, if you don't know, just I don't know whether should we send them to Rodney? We shouldn't, should we? Mm-hmm. This is too mean. Just know it's a thing. And if we call you an originalist, it's tongue-in-cheek unless we're actually being mean. Mm-hmm. What's like the funniest take you've seen about like looking through those tweet threads and things? Does any of them stand out to you?
I think like the funny things are like when people, I have one. Okay. So this, this woman was live tweeting her mom watching The Wheel of Time.
Right. Okay.
So she was like in the room with her and like tweeting like her mom's reactions. And I guess like her mom during the scene in season two, when, Moraine kind of like got her power back. Her mom turned to her and asks her, why is Moraine the only one who has to dance to channel? And I just think I thought that was so funny because I do feel like Rosamund is so over the top with her channeling moves.
She is a little extra now. You've said that. I do think I can see
so
that. Yeah,
extra with it. And I'm like, and I don't know if you remember, but that scene as she's like doing like the Matrix like backbend to start channeling, this flock of seagulls goes by in the background. And it just felt like this like 1980s like music video with like the seagulls and this like woman on the beach like
I did not notice the seagulls. But now I'm not gonna be able to ever see anything ever again in that scene.
It like cuts to seagulls like just walking by while she's dancing. I just couldn't. I couldn't take it seriously. And neither could that person's mom, I'm assuming. But I mean, there's a million. I used to bookmark them for real, and I could probably go back and resurface them. But I think some of the funniest ones too are just like the unexpected, like things that I don't see as like a thirsty moment. And then someone else gets thirsty about it, but then tweet it in, like the funniest way possible. Those are the ones that kill me. I'm just like, oh my God, so ridiculous.
There's a lot of thirst in Twitter at time, isn't there? It's a very, very thirsty group.
It's a very thirsty group. Nerds always are.
This is true. This is very true. Yeah, it works. It works great. So,
Rafe knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, with the casting, Jesus Christ! Like some of that, and the, I mean, the Taylor with his Instagram posts. Raga. I don't know if you've seen Raga's Instagram account. It's just, and then Arnis gets in on it occasionally. The guy who plays Massima, and then Priyanka. Yeah. I'm just like, what are you all doing? This is, you know,
yeah. They're just all living like their best lives, just being like attractive people in Europe.
And yeah,
it's very upsetting.
It is very upsetting. This is so true. But never mind. Never mind.
It's all good.
Yeah. It's all good. We're not jelly at all.
True.
All right. A couple questions to round it out. Now that we've chatted to you and got to know you a bit more, and we know that you're obsessed with memes and thirsty takes. Two more AL questions. Firstly, I am the token wetlander. I always have toe to meet. But occasionally, even the Aiel will have toe to meet. How, when it happens, do you meet your toe?
Oh, interesting. I don't know. I definitely have like probably a deeply Aiel streak in me, because I do really love like accountability and just like owning up to your shit. And so usually if I do something, I like be the first to admit I did something. I did something messed up. I don't know. I just try to make it up to someone, I guess. Make it up to them. Apologize. I don't know.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Was I supposed to give a funnier answer?
No. In all seriousness, actually, so Mel gave like an in-character and out-of-character answer. And then Leia obviously doesn't roleplay as a specific character. And so gave just like a in-person sort of answer. But I mean, you can give a Tigraine answer if you want to do a character answer as well.
Tigraine answer?
How would Tigraine meet her toe? Like she would catch the baby after she yeeted it, for example.
Yeah, she would take care of a baby for a year. Like a guy shine mother.
And a day.
A year and a day, yeah. That would be.
Yeah.
But also I would argue, like, if you give birth in like hypothermia temperatures to the guy who ends up like saving the world, and this is like all part of it, do you even have toe anymore?
I mean, that's a fair point. That sounds like it would be a very short debate. That question. So,
like at that point, you know, you're kind of in with the creator. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So
yeah.
Yeah,
that's fair. I give you that one. That one definitely wins. But I do like the be a mother for a year and a day guy shine thing. Like,
be forced to take care of my child. Rough life.
Or maybe just like babysit for a year and a day. Oh God, that sounds
awful. Exactly. They could make me like the whole babysitter, and then just have all the babies.
I've just got a vision of I don't know. It's like was it like a superhero baby thing? What's the movie with the kids? The Incredibles.
Yeah,
where they try to babysit like the baby.
Babies, yeah.
And the baby's got like 8 different powers and keeps disappearing and running off and stuff. You'd be like that, but with Aiel children. They'd just be like,
they would be like fighting and running really fast.
And stabbing King, random. That would be a lot of work, I imagine. So
it would be. Yeah, I wonder. Robert Jordan really never specifies how childcare happens in the threefold land. I'm curious how that
maybe that's a topic of discussion that we need to get thrown together at some point. Childcare. We've discovered there is a Dark Friend daycare. But what is the Aiel version of daycare? Yeah. Like, how does that work?
Especially because, like, you know, the maidens, if they don't want to like give up the spear, they send their babies away. So like,
yeah.
There's got to be some sort of Aiel daycare situation.
Yeah,
happening.
Adoption process, something.
Yeah, some sort of. I mean, those holes have to just be full of kids. I can't believe it was never mentioned.
Yeah, I feel like a little. There was like maybe a mention of like younger children, but not like not like kids, just like the younger, like maybe teens and things like that, you know. Yeah. So.
And you get some of, like, I feel like when we finally get Avienda's point of view, she sometimes thinks about, like, when she was little training to become, like, she knew she wanted to become a maiden. And,
right.
Like, kind of training for that as, like, a kid, like, her career.
Yeah, normally, like, with people regularly be like, oh, okay, don't, like, you know, leave sharp objects around children, things like that. I can see the IU being a little different, being like, here's a spear, but it's my third birthday. Yeah, well, okay. It's a blunt spear, but it's still a spear, you know, like, they would do that.
It's like those families that, like, raise their kids around horses and the kids are riding before they can walk, or, like, the circus families where the babies are tumbling and doing contortion before they can walk.
There's a high wire. Well, I can't read and write yet, but go spin on the high wire. It's okay. So,
yeah, it's fine. You don't need to read and write.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. So Tigraine, if she had to meet Toh, which we feel like she probably doesn't after birthing the savior, could potentially do the Gaishin babysitting for a year and a day sort of situation to meet Toh. I like it. Yeah. That's fun. Okay. And the last one, it is very much just an in-person thing. It's not an in-character question. So, but what Aiel value do you take? Because there's a lot of things to go there. They're a very complicated race, but, like, what one thing from the Aiel do you take and sort of try to instill in your personal everyday life?
Oh, interesting. What do I take from the Aiel and try and instill? Oh, that's a really good question. I think I can say two things. I think one that I do somewhat, I think is somewhat intrinsic to my personality is kind of Jaito, just because I feel like I've always had, like, a really strong sense of, like, fairness. And I really don't like when things are unfair or, like, someone's being bullied or something like that. That's always really bothered me. And so I like the idea of there being a system of, like, honor and obligation of, like, knowing people kind of following a code and having a really high standard for their character and kind of the things you do when no one's watching and having that be part of how you live. But I would also say an aspirational one is, like, their acceptance. Like, they're so accepting that they could die. They're so accepting that things could go wrong. They're just kind of like, whenever something bad is happening, they're just kind of like, well, this is just how it is. And they're very in the moment. And there's always this sense of just peace and acceptance, because it's kind of like, well, we all wake from the dream. So it's whatever. Like, you know, and I think that for me is aspirational. I'm not there yet, but I would love to be able to really just accept and kind of let go of trying to control the future or the outcome. Because I think that's what allows them to be so brave and so fearless, is that they're able to kind of just accept what comes and roll with it and survive it. And so that's really powerful.
I love that. That's something I'll let you have two there. That's okay. So.
Okay, thanks. One was aspirational. I didn't say I could do it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. It's interesting because now you, Leia, and Mel have kind of all given a very similar answer to that question. Okay. Yeah, very interesting. So we'll see if that carries on next week. Mm-hmm. But that is the end of my questions.
Okay.
I hope you've enjoyed chatting. I've enjoyed chatting to you.
So,
like,
fun.
Yeah, it's been, like I say, it's been 9 months since I last saw you. You know, so it's good to catch up, but it's fun to get to know you a bit more and talk Aiel stuff, because you know, who doesn't love the Aiel? So
absolutely. Don't talk Aiel anytime.
Yeah, love that. You need to come visit us on Threefold Talk at some point.
I'm so bad at live streaming, though. I feel like I just having to, like, be aware of what my face is doing.
You've seen the rest of us. We don't really do that. I think you're okay.
I just am always like, don't make a face, like, the whole time. I don't know. It's tough for
me. Make the face, you know.
I feel like I have to always be on and be doing something, and it just ends up feeling high pressure. So I've kind of, like, started being avoidant about live streaming. But I will come back and visit you. I will make an exception.
Yeah. You'll have to, at the very least, you'll need to, come join us at JordanCon. That's a lot more.
Oh, yeah. That would be really fun. Yeah. I would love to do that.
So, and what we'll do is we'll have your co-stars as the guests, and you can be with us interviewing them and Ooh. Making them face Fear the Spirit and stuff like that. That could Ooh, be a fun
that
little
That would be really fun.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. I can help write those questions.
There we go. We could have a lot of fun doing that. I love this idea.
That would be great.
Perfect. All right. Well, yeah, say thank you. I've loved this. It's been great. Folks, I hope you enjoyed listening. Please, if you don't follow Tigraine on Twitter, please go do it, because, you know, the memes are always great. The takes are funny. And it's just, yeah, I just, the eating babies, like, I can never not see that. And the Gowan high five, you know, just things like that. They're so much fun. Yeah. And it's so good to talk to you again. So thank you. And, until next time, folks, please go and find yourself lots of love, water, and shade.
Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.